Greetings in the name of Jesus this morning, our Lord and Savior. It's a privilege to be together and be encouraged and blessed again. The discussion, the things that come out in Sunday school, the devotional. I was blessed with Brother Kyle's devotion this morning, as well as a simple thing of the sign at Lone Star Structures this morning. I don't know if you noticed that or not. Peace, be still. As a young boy, we had a set of books in the house that were a series, and one of those books, some of you may remember and relate with, beautiful pictures, but the one picture especially caught my mind, and it was the artist's depiction of an Old Testament prophecy in his mind. There was the backdrop of a beautiful, lush green grass and trees, flowers, a meadow. I'm not sure, I don't remember the detail, whether there was a picture of the throne and God sitting on it or not. But the thing that really catches your attention as you look at that artist's rendition of this prophecy is something that is so totally different than this life that we know of. And that is, there's animals of all kinds there on that hillside, and there's a child there leading a couple of these animals, or right in me. And the strange thing about it is these animals are all in a serene seeming environment. These are predatory animals and prey peacefully together with a child in the middle of it. It's a picture of peace. As I looked at that as a young boy, what I wanted to do was drop right in there. I wanted to experience that. I wanted to be a part of that. The artist had a terrific imagination about that. Now, jolt your imagination a little bit and think with me. If you went one day to the Waco Zoo, and you went in, paid the admission, and went in through the entrance into the zoo, and you would encounter this day, of all days, a completely different zoo than you've ever been at before. This zoo would now have the animals completely free roaming in there, totally in no pens, no barricades, no glass. You could go in and relate with these animals, the lion, the bear, the jaguar, the wolf. Even the reptile house would not have barricades. The snakes would be out slithering around. And there would just, everything would be okay. Would you pay to go to something like that? Yeah, probably so. Because it would be one of a kind. Or, some of you have gone to the expense of traveling to Africa and taken an African safari. How would it be? Or maybe you've watched a wildlife film. You know what's really interesting? It's the predator action that we all gravitate towards. When you're out on a safari, it's the action the people who take you out there, they're in communication with the other, and they want to take you to where the kill is happening. The action. That's what we want to see. Or that's what seems to draw our attention. We're fascinated with the process of death and preying on others, the effect of, in essence, the curse. Why would we bother going if it was otherwise? What if you were in your safari jeep and and stopped along the way, got out of the Jeep to stroke a little cheetah cub with the mama standing right by. No worries. Or stand beside the tall, stately giraffe and look up and look how tall that neck really is. And then you'd go along and stop at the river for a swim with the hippo, or take a ride on the back of a crocodile. A kingdom of peace. Where is this place of prophetic word? What was the prophet talking about? I invite you to turn to Isaiah 11, and we're going to read this prophecy. Isaiah chapter 11, I'm choosing to read from verse 1 through 9. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. What was the prophet Isaiah talking about here? Obviously, he was seeing something. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Predator and prey cohabiting. Enmity is gone. What was once deadly is now docile. There is an obvious, observable change to the nature of these once fearsome creatures. What happened? What's taking place here? I think we find a secret that lies in the key figure that is described, whose identity is described in the first part of this prophecy. Notice the description. A rod, a branch shall grow out of the roots of Jesse. Now we know from history, we have the advantage of knowing history from this side and seeing the fulfillment of some of this, is that Jesus was the fulfillment and the rod of Jesse or the branch. Jesse was the father of David, King David. And David was promised that he would have a man on his throne forever. Well, we know that time went on, and eventually it seemed like the throne of David was seemingly all but cut off. Maybe the roots were still there. The dynasty of King David had seemingly been cut down, but the roots were still there. Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Peace. These creatures that are mentioned here who are cohabiting without any enmity seem to have had their nature changed by an encounter with him. They seem to reflect his very nature of peace. This Jesus, who is God is love, God incarnate, his intent is never to hurt or destroy, but rather is redemptive, healing, restorative, and upbuilding. On the other hand, as we heard this morning already, the enemy, the thief's intent is to steal, kill, and destroy, to divide rather than unite. So when is this prophecy fulfilled, or has it been fulfilled? The answer, I would say, is from the moment of Jesus' first breath in Bethlehem that night, of that Bethlehem heir to the present day, as well as possibly into the future. We notice a significant change in the people that Jesus ministered to. People like Zacchaeus and Mary Magdalene, but hardly any as great as the disciples after Pentecost. Especially the Apostle Paul after his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Notice the description of the Apostle Paul on his way to Damascus, or before. Yeah, it said before he went on his way. It described him as breathing out threatenings and slaughter. That sounds like venom to me, like death. And then an encounter with the Lord Jesus on the way. And his response, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Notice the character change, the natural change. I find it interesting. I won't take the time to read it, but verse 10 through 16, the rest of this chapter, gives a description of a remnant being called home. And I find that the parallel of that actually, I believe, is fulfilled at the beginning of it in Acts 2, at the end of that account, where the early church was gathered and people from all different parts of the country. Notice in this last part of Isaiah here, it talks about different localities. There were also different localities mentioned, and I compared some of the very same ones of the ones that were in Acts 2, where they were present and they heard the wonderful works that were being proclaimed by the disciples that had experienced the Spirit of God coming in and changing their lives. These people were now hearing and also being affected by that as a fulfillment of this very scripture. Even the Gentiles, who were, if we notice, there was an enmity between different people. We, this morning, as disciples of Christ, the church, are the fulfillment of this prophecy. I'm not here to say that one day there will not be literal lions and wolves and bears and lambs being together. I don't know. In the future. But I don't see it happening here on earth. But I think this is a type of the characteristics that are before and after snapshots of each of our lives. When we are honest with who we are in the natural sense, we find ourselves as creatures who are either predator or prey without Christ. This is you it's me. We die to ourselves, and Jesus' Spirit changes our nature. It is very similar to the metamorphosis that takes place of a caterpillar. And you know the life of a caterpillar. Basically, they're a destructive little animal that goes around and eats your tomato plants and other plants that we try to culture for fruit. But then they go into this natural process of dying, in a sense, and coming out a beautiful, delightful butterfly, which delights on sweetness of flowers. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Our encounter with Jesus turns what we once were into something very peaceful and productive. We become Jesus-natured. And I'd just like to highlight these aspects that he talks about here in the prophecy of what will be a type and character traits of this branch that will come forth, which actually, when his Spirit resides in us, should be a part of our lives. First of all, he says, a spirit of wisdom and understanding. Our lives should be typified by the wisdom and understanding that comes from above. The wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Doesn't that sound a little bit like that picture with the animals on the hillside, all peacefully in peace with each other? Secondly, the spirit of counsel and might. We lean into the counsel of the wonderful counselor, and we trust in the mighty God, not our own understanding. Thirdly, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. We delight in obedience in him. As Jesus said, "For I do always those things that please him." We seek and are quickly ready to fulfill the purposes that the Father has for us. Those things that naturally we would have used for our own personal benefits, we now use and surrender them to him to make them fruitful and useful in his kingdom and a blessing to others. Number four, quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. The term quick there has the idea of smell or scent. In other words, being quick to smell out or to scent things that are deeper, not just taking things at face value. And we know the Lord Jesus had that ability when he was here on the earth. He had discernment. He was not gullible in taking things at face value, how it looked on the surface. Jesus said, incidentally, that we are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. The Word of God gives us this discernment because it discerns even to the thoughts and intents of our heart. Jesus could see below the surface of the questions that many posed to him, such as the Pharisees' question about whether it's right to give taxes to Caesar or not. He was able to see below that and come to the real solution. Fifthly, the ministry to the poor, the lowly, the exploited, and the disadvantaged. Jesus also calls us to that. As his Spirit resides in us, we look out for opportunities of ministry in our lives. The Good Samaritan was a perfect example of that. The sixth point is the word of truth, which he says here, he will smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips shall slay the wicked. Not in a literal sense would we go around because we are filled with his spirit to slay the wicked, but we counter evil with the word of God, with the word of truth to a world of deceit. As Jesus, the embodiment of truth, stood before Pilate and simply witnessed the truth. And seventh, says this branch would have a girdle of righteousness and a girdle of faithfulness. I put that in one, and a girdle is a belt. So I like to think of a restraint of right living, as well as belted or a belt readiness to obey to completion. These are all beautiful traits that should be a part of our new nature. The question we would ask, though, as we look at this, that the fulfillment of this kingdom of peace is the church. So why does the church continue to struggle with conflict and a lack of peace? Many times we are anything but this beautiful peace, picture of serenity. Why do we need admonition like Galatians 5:15, where it says, "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." Doesn't that sound a little predatory in your mind, where we are biting and devouring one another? It seems like most of the New Testament is actually dealing with the practical outworking of working this nature out in the context of where we live and how we live. I would be quick to answer that it's because we're not home yet. It's because we are not yet delivered from the tension between the flesh and the spirit. We encounter that every day. I have to think of the illustration that I heard as a young boy. If my memory serves me right, there was this rancher who had a unique way of taming his new little colts that were born on his ranch. He had a trusty old donkey that he would use to do the job. So he would catch the colt and tether the colt to this old donkey. The old donkey had the ability and he had the habit of coming in every night to the barn for the night. And the rancher wanted his other cattle to do the same, or his other animals. So he tethered the young colt to the donkey. The colt would run to the end of the tether and get stopped and jolted back, and it couldn't make much headways, but the donkey would take one step towards the barn. And one step at a time, the donkey brought the colt in home. And after a while, that colt figured out its nature was actually changed to conform. And I like to liken that to the fact that we are tethered to the Spirit of Jesus. And with each step, he brings us towards home on that journey. Till finally, we see him face to face. We look through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're not perfect, but we continue to strive. Allow his Spirit to work in us, to conform us into his image. In a world of conflict, let me back up. This process is highlighted in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10, where the Apostle Paul says, "We always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body." This is the life of the Christian and the way of peace. In the world of conflict and predator and prey, may we be ambassadors of the beautiful kingdom of peace, being tethered to the King of Salem or the King of Peace. We see this played out in the New Testament, and in fact, in a later prophecy in Isaiah. He talks about Assyria and Egypt, previously mortal enemies. They will one day be reconciled and become partners in worshiping the Lord. And we see that fulfilled in the New Testament, where Jew and Gentile, bond and free, people who were at enmity with each other, working things out in the peaceful realm of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven on earth as the church. A beautiful picture. Nowhere else can you find this on earth. And then will come to pass, and is coming to pass, the fulfillment of that scripture where it says, "And it shall come to pass that in that place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, they shall be called the children of the living God." That's us. What a blessing and what a beautiful privilege to be a part of this peaceful kingdom that is continuing and will one day be brought to completion. In the fullest sense, may we be faithful as we represent his kingdom. I invite you to kneel as we pray, those of you who can.